en busca de un mejor destino para ti, lo que viniera de ti.
Welcome to the Inside the Journey podcast. This is episode number 14 for Sunday, August 4th, 2013. I'm Nelson DeWitt, and John Younger is out today, but we are the creative team behind the documentary film Identifying Nelson, Buscando a Roberto. Today, I have two special guests. They are Jackie Shelley and Sue Ann Reed, and they are two fellow misfits from a conference that I attended about 2 months ago in Fargo. This conference was thrown by a friend of ours, AJ Leon, and we attended in Fargo, of all places. And it was an amazing event, very special. And while we were there, I got to meet these two wonderful people, and I will let them introduce themselves. So why don't we start with Jackie?
Okay. Hi, I'm Jackie Lee Shelley, and my official job title is Warrior Princess. I'm also an artist, and I own a company called Front Row Antics, and I'm from San Francisco, California.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
And next, we have Sue.
Hello. This is Sue Ann, and I currently help nonprofits raise money online, and I live in Tennessee.
Oh, and it looks like we have another special guest, Deb Brown, who is joining us. Deb, are you there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Why don't you...
Yay!
Deb, can you introduce yourself for the listening audience?
Absolutely. My name is Deb Brown. I live in the state of Iowa. Nelson and I are friends from the 140 conference many years ago, and I'm really happy to be here.
Awesome. So today's episode, we are going to talk a little bit about the 8-minute preview that I got to show in Fargo. So I think this is the second time that we've shown that 8-minute clip publicly. And what I wanted to do today was just talk with these three wonderful people and get their feedback. And I'm just curious what their experience around watching the film was and what they thought and what it meant to them. Jackie, you were telling me an interesting story how you were in the front row watching it with me, but this was before you even, we had like met face to face. So what was that like for you?
Well, as you know, my company is called Front Row Antics, and there's a whole backstory to that. But so I, as a general rule, I always sit in the front row, and so I happened to sit right next to you. And again, I hadn't met you yet. I don't think we'd even so much as said, hi, my name is. So it was my first experience of you was actually sitting next to you watching this film that you made. And that was pretty extraordinary because I got to sort of feel you reacting to the audience's reaction to your own work being shown. And it was really powerful. I really enjoyed that.
And Deb, you and I, we go back a couple conferences. I think we met in 2010, actually, just when I was starting out on this journey to make the film.
I've actually seen you speak a couple of times about your story. And while definitely very moved when you speak, to sit down and see just 8 minutes of the story, I don't know if you turned around and looked at me, but I was crying because I really felt what you're trying to convey here. And it was like so powerful for me. It's great when you do your public appearances, Nelson, but you've got really magic with this movie. It was particularly exciting for me to see your first family or your birth family. Because I'd heard the words in your head and kind of got that feeling about being adopted and how must have been really awful to not know your family. But then to see the coming together, that's what blew me away. And to see how your grandmother has always been looking for you. And that, you know, there was no language barrier for me. You could tell that looking at her and her reaction to you.
And Sue, what was your experience watching the 8-minute preview?
So I thought it was really interesting. I love kind of real life stories, and I'm a huge documentary watcher and documentary fan, and I think it's such a great way to tell this type of story, and especially like the visuals that you've already incorporated and the start to the story that you've already put together, I think was really awesome.
One of the things I'm thinking about a lot is how do people relate with this story? because it is an incredible story, but in many ways it's my story and it's my family's story. And I'm constantly worrying or thinking about how do I share this story, or like how does it resonate with other people? And one of the things I've found throughout telling the story is that many different people relate to it in different ways and they connect to different parts. So I'd love to hear from each of you what you connected with in the film. And why don't we start with Sue?
Sure. So I am an adoptee as well. So when I was very young, my mom has always been my mom. She was my birth mom. She was my mom throughout my entire life. But when I was very young, my biological father left the picture. And I was adopted by my stepfather, who my mom had married when I was 3. And when I was 18, I went on a quest and a personal journey to seek out my adopted father, or sorry, my birth father, not my adopted father, my birth father, and find out who he was and kind of get his side of the story and potentially connect with him and his family. And so there were a lot of things in your story and just in that 8 minutes of the film that, you know, I really identified with from that perspective of meeting this family and them having expectations of who you should be, you know, as their grandson and their son and their cousin and their nephew. Also, the struggle between who you are with your adopted family that raised you and then who you are when you travel to see your other family, really how that relates. And I think it's a very common experience for adopted children of any type or children who have been estranged from their extended family is finding those answers to those questions.
You know, I think you bring up a great point there, especially about sort of the family's expectations of you, like what this biological family, you know, they imagine who you're going to be and how you fit back into their lives. And I guess there is some sort of pressure there to live up to their expectations. But I think you nailed it, that there is this struggle between the family that raised you and the family that you were born into, and you do have to balance those things, and it can be very difficult. So, Deb, how did you connect with this?
Yes, I'm a big fan of a good storyteller, and you've really done that. You've told a story very well, and listening to Sue speak kind of made me think. When I first went to the Misfit Conference, it was if I'd met a group of people that really knew me, that were like family to me. I can't even imagine what it would be like to have birth parents and then the family that raised you. So just to try to think what that would be like, and you bring those questions to the forefront. Plus, there was a language dilemma in there as well. So that just the things personally that you've gone through, how do you tell your mom and dad that raised you what your feelings are for the people in South America? How do you even begin to have conversations with each other? And you just answered some of those questions and showed that it's not easy.
That's a great observation. Kind of the answer that came to mind right away was that you don't sort of have those right away. Like it took me years and years to finally share my thoughts and feelings, and a lot of it I did through writing. When I first started the blog, that's where a lot of it came out, and it was the first attempt to really communicate some of that stuff. So yeah, great observation. And Jackie, we were talking about earlier that you have a mixed heritage and that, you know, mm-hmm. that dual family kind of really resonated with you.
You know, on a personal level, everyone finds their own way to relate to the story, I think, about family and identity. And, you know, Sue was sharing about being an adoptee and that journey, you know, and for me, it's about being half white and half Hispanic. And I have a huge Mexican Catholic family in South Texas that I belong to. That's one of my worlds. Most people can't really relate to having what is literally a tribe. I mean, my mother is the oldest of 9 children. I had aunts and uncles to spare. I had 23 younger cousins. I grew up, you know, changing diapers and doing the whole thing. So there's that sort of side of my family. And then on the other hand, I have this very white American, much more small nuclear family on the other side. And I was always bridging, go back and forth between those identities. And so your idea of having to go back and forth between literally your South American family and then come back to the U.S., like that's the part of it that I related to, I think, is having to integrate two really different family identities together. So that resonated a lot.
It's hard when you feel torn between the two different worlds and they don't understand each other, and you're trying, you're like the middle man or whatever, and you're trying to, you're just trying to like be the connector between the two of them, and like everything is kind of, you're in the middle. Yeah, so that's another great point. You know, we had a fascinating kind of discussion afterwards, really emotional, and AJ's brother came up to me afterwards, and he's like, you know, I've never heard questions like that, and I've been to Tribeca Film Festival. I was kind of overwhelmed at the time, but what was your experience of like the discussion afterwards and people's reaction to the film?
It was interesting for me to hear because I'd heard your story before, and some of the questions that people asked were pretty point blank and dealt with your feelings. So for me, it was good to see how you answered them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of the things that was great about the Misfit Conference and about you showing your film to that group is even during that first day, there was already like this sense of community that was really starting to grow. And I think that's why I think some people felt like they could ask you some really tough questions that you might not get from another audience, you know, that because they felt like, you know, I'm part of this group, I'm part of this community, and I resonated with this, and now I want to learn more about this person, about this movie, about, you know, one of the great things I thought was how many people, both in that Q&A and I know privately, came up to you and said, you know, how can we help move this project forward? You know, they were already, you know, bought into helping make your larger vision of the movie a reality.
Well, I think thinking back, that's what strikes me. I mean, we talked about how emotional it was and how people asked very sort of deep questions, but immediately, like maybe midway through the question session, everyone was like ready to get down to work. Like it was almost like it just became like, all right, we're all now on board and we're on the team and we're working on it. And everybody's like, this is what I can do. And here's my email. And here, I'm going to connect you to this person. And I was like, wait, when did this become like a work session? You know, but it was fast. It was like everybody just was on board immediately as soon as they realized that you had something big to work on.
And it was incredibly humbling for me to receive that kind of support. And the hard part is like, yes, I want to get going. And then we're like, wait, I need, you know, we need time to like figure this out and how we're going to go and what we're going to do with it. Part of the challenge has always been for me, like, where do I go with it? You know, because it is such a powerful story and it relates to people of many different walks of life. And so what do you do with that kind of story? Actually, Deb, you're someone who came up to me afterwards and you said, how many other children are there? You know, what do you have to do to find them? Can we reconnect more? And it was interesting to see, like, we had done this 8 minutes and we hadn't even really touched upon that part, but already those questions were starting to form. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about why you came up and asked me those kind of questions.
That's a really good question. When you and I first met, you were simply telling your story. You weren't quite sure, I want to make a movie, I'm not sure how that's going to work. And then the second time you were developing a team and you were putting a movie idea together, and this time you had 8 minutes to show. So those three times in real life where we've met, I could see the progress. And it was just natural, having actually seen your family in South America, to ask that question, how many more are there? And with that group of misfits around it, that was the perfect team to go forward with that question. and to say, how can we help? And it's my hope that your story is soon developed into a movie and start showing that movie, and that you don't get caught up in the it has to be perfect mode of it. Because maybe finding the other families comes as a result of having placed that movie out there. That's yeah. my hope.
That's a great point. I mean, I think part of the challenge that I've always felt with this project is, you know, I want to do something, but I don't know what that something is yet. And it sort of what it sounds like is just get it out there and then you can figure out the rest of the stuff.
You know, for some reason with your movie, it's on a totally different subject, but probably my other, like, the most other powerful documentary I've ever seen is Dear Zachary, which is the story of a man who was murdered by his ex-wife, and then his friend set out to make this film to tell his story to his infant son. And especially the trajectory of that documentary, like when he first started out making that documentary, it wasn't really to change anything. It was just to tell a story. And then as situations happened while he was making that documentary and things changed, and then he was able to use the finished product of the documentary to really change law in Canada where the documentary is based. And I kind of see that your film has the potential to potentially change lives and to help reconnect some of these other disappeared children. But I don't think it's necessarily something that has to happen before you release that to the world.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that I guess you feel like as a filmmaker that you need to have that question answered from the beginning. And it's always so hard to, like, people are like, well, what can we do to help? And you're like, well, I don't really have an answer to that. And so you are working through as it unfolds. But I think you're right that perhaps some of the biggest change will come after the yeah. film is out into the public.
You might not have to answer that question in the film. It's possible that you will trigger that response in people just by telling the story, you know, and maybe just getting to a finish line is better than, you know, overly focusing on that question. But
and the marketer in me wants you to lead them somewhere where a group can get together, a website or a forum where people can start asking those questions after they've seen the movie and create magic out of that.
Yeah.
But that you don't have to build it, you know?
That actually reminds me, one of the interesting comments that came out of that Q&A section was ask dangerous questions. And a lot of people liked that, including myself.
Yes.
I just thought it was profound, you know, like this. And it relates to my grandmother who didn't give up and asked those dangerous questions. You know, we've covered a lot of ground, and, you know, one thing I'd be really interested in hearing is John, who is the director of the film, he was not there to hear the feedback that the film received. So I'm wondering if you could give your comments and thoughts on what you saw, just briefly, whatever comes to mind, so that he can listen to this and kind of get some motivation from, because there was so much energy in that room, and maybe we can recreate a little bit of it here.
Gosh, you know, during the discussion at the actual thing, I was actually pretty quiet because I was sitting back being amazed at how much feedback was being tossed your way about what you could do. But my general feeling every time I talk to you is like, I just want to see it done. Like, I'm impatient. I just, you know, like, I got to see 8 minutes. I want to see the rest, you know? So like, I can hear how complicated it is, like, all the things you could include, all the things you're trying to weave in, like the personal video and the interviews and the actual historical stuff. And, you know, there's a lot there. But I think the sooner you get some sort of rough product together, at least a rough cut or something that's approximately the length of the finished product, you know, that you can start messing with, like, I would love to just see it finished in some way.
I have a friend that's a writer, and we write so very differently. I just vomit it all on paper, and I go back and edit, where she edits as she goes along, and I think you're more like her, and I'm more like Jackie. Just write it, for God's sakes. I do agree, but, you know,
I'm impatient. So,
yeah, I too, at the actual screening, I was simply amazed at how emotionally people responded to a story that was being told. You weren't political with it. You weren't weepy sad with it. You were just telling the story, but yet it stirred up a lot of emotion in people. And I really like that. And also, I agree with Jackie. I'd loved it. Just have it done. Yeah.
I would probably agree. I mean, I think the quicker you can answer the questions and build on the momentum of the Misfits and from the Misfit Conference and use that energy to complete the project, I think. But I think you've got a great story to tell, and I think it's a story that people need to hear. And so I think the more you can get out, the better.
You hear that, John? We have work to do. But in all seriousness, this is great feedback for both of us. You know, it's always good to put stuff out there, get feedback. And Deb, I think you were absolutely right. The people in the room, I was surprised at how, you know, it really blew me away how much even this 8-minute piece that we have meant to people. And there is more in the works. It's, you know, we have about 45 minutes in good shape, so more is coming. But again, okay. You know, the hard part is the editing, right? Is crafting that story. So I just want to say thank you to the Misfits. Thank you for the three of you for jumping on today and doing this and saving my butt, because we didn't really have anything for the podcast for tomorrow. But hopefully we'll figure out something for next week. And for everyone listening at home, thank you for listening. Keep tuning in. Love to hear your comments, your feedbacks. You can connect with us on Facebook/Identifying Nelson or email podcast@identifyingnelson.com. Let me see. Is there anything else? If you enjoy the show, please pass it on to anyone that you think would like it. And tune in next week. John and I will have a better grasp on the next show. Thank you so much to the Misfits and everything that you've been doing for us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nelson.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Have a great day, and cue the music. Bye-bye.